In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Gospel of today comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, for us to Luke chapter 7. And this Gospel, the Church found it to be very important, so it put it in the midnight watch, Pharisee whose name pray, every night. And I think when you look at the Gospel reading, it's about, if it didn't do, it was Simon, who invited the Lord Christ into his house to dine with him. And it seems he did in the what was his duty to do. But there was a lady who was a sinner. We don't know what kind of sins she was committing, but it seems that she was not accepted in the most humble gathering. So she did what Simon did not do, which was welcome him, wash his feet, but she did it humble of ways. And then the Lord replied to Simon's thoughts about his judgment of her. And actually, it could be looked at either a judgment of her or his own self, Simon's justification. Sometimes, you know, when we want to justify ourselves, we judge others. So this is one's problem. Mainly, it wasn't the quantity of his sin, but it was rather his awareness of his own sin. But he also made Simon in this story not to accept the Lord Christ. And he didn't only not accept him, but on who and what judged the woman, and he also judged Christ himself. He said, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known he's a false. What manner of woman this is who is touching him?" So he judged Christ and said, "If he is a prophet, he would know." So he said that he doesn't know. You know, it's a prophet. And the second he said of this woman that she is a sinner. So I want the different faith take some time today to quickly speak about the sin of self-justification when we justify ourselves. I'll talk about three things, all of us, cases of self-justification, some of the dangers, and the remedy for self-justification. And I think this sin is very common. I think maybe cases of self, myself included, can think of a time where I justified myself before others. Maybe not one time, many times. So what are the dangers of justification? The first is the person who justifies himself will tend to decrease the importance and or of danger of sin. Somebody might come, so they decrease the importance of sin or the danger of sin. They make it seem as something that's not a big deal. Some going, say, you know, Abuna, is it really that bad that I just, you know, look at something that's inappropriate? All I'm doing is looking. I'm not doing anything. It's just, you know, something that I'm enjoying about between me and myself. Is it really that bad? I didn't really do anything. When is it really, you know, that bad, you know, to talk workers, the negatives of other people? Everybody else is doing it around me. So what's the big deal? I find myself, Abuna, when I'm sitting with my classmates or with a co-worker, that I'm saying, you know, some foul language or saying bad words. You know, Abuna, when I say it there, it doesn't, to them it doesn't seem bad. So is it really bad? Of course. Yes, of course it's still bad. But we tend to what we do, to justify ourselves, we make the sin seem like it's no big deal. It's nothing. So we, and then they'll come and say, you know, Abuna, you're being too nitpicky. You know, everybody else is doing it. You know, God is merciful, and that's why I'm here. I'm confessing, so God will wipe it away. So if I try to make sin look as something very, very easy, and it tries to convince us, or the person who self-justifies, they're okay, tries to convince themselves that the sins in the Bible are all exaggerated. They're all exaggerated. You know, the small or white sins, importance and it's just the big sins and things like that that we need to try to avoid. So, the person who self-justifies, they will decrease the your brother or danger of sin. The second is that they'll make excuses for themselves. They'll make excuses. You might ask, why did you, you know, hit sister, or why did you yell at your wife, or, you know, scream at your husband, or whatnot? Because they did something to provoke me. how they, Abuna, if you would have seen the face that she had given me, you would have probably hit her too. No. Abuna, if you would have seen what my brother did or my sister did, excuse me, they did something and something broke in the house and they went and told mom and dad that I did it. If you would have seen that, you would have hit them too. So we stand ba'a to make excuses. And part of the excuses command also is to make others, you know, pity me. So if I'm making going on, and I'm going to make the excuses to make the person that I'm complaining to or trying to justify myself to pity my case. Abuna, I have, you know, this thing around. My life and my wife is this and my kids are driving me up the wall and I don't know what to do and this is why I'm out drinking or I'm, you know, fooling. So excuses. We tend to make excuses and we want people to pity our situation. And actually, when we make excuses, you know, for whatever sins we commit, it doesn't give rest to the person that is in front of us. It doesn't give, you know, rest to others. To drag things, sometimes it's very easy just to say, I'm sorry, or I've sinned, or forgive me, and this will be the end of the discussion. But when we give excuses, this tends on. It tends to compound things, and things start to snowball, and they get out of hand. So sometimes the solution is just as simple, I'm sorry or forgive me, shouldn't have did this and that's it, or done this and that's it. But sometimes we want to extend things out by excuses. And also, we said, first face is that it decreases the importance and danger of sin to others. A face of self-justification is those who give excuses. Also, those who shift blame to others. Those who shift blame. They say, what's a good example in the Bible about this? Comes in Genesis. Adam, right? Adam and Eve, right? So when God was searching in the wilderness, what happened? And they hid himself, and God said, where are you, Adam? He's here, and I'm naked. And he says, how did you know that you're naked? And then the woman whom you... And he says, I ate. And then God said, why did you eat? And then Adam said, the woman that you gave me, that you did blame, gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. So he said, you know what? It wasn't me. It was the woman that you gave me, and she tempted me, and that's why I ate. So she shifted, is that the serpent? Or he shifted blame from himself to Eve. And Eve wasn't excused either. What did Eve do? She said, the serpent, right? Justify the serpent that you created is the one that made me, that tempted me to fall. So shifting blame to others is a classic face of those who just shifting themselves. So think about it. Am I the type that shifts blame on other people? Or do I accept my own, you know, shortcomings and my own faults? God certainly blame to others. And we think, yani, we might be fooling somebody by shifting the blame to others, but it doesn't fool anybody, to God. He wasn't fooled by it, and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Not only shifting blame to others, but also shifting blame, it's your fault. Adam did the same thing when he said, the woman you gave me, so now he's blaming God for giving me this woman. He could have said, you know, I didn't ask for her. You're the one that just gave her to me, so like I wanted. So not only that, shifting blame to God. God, this is my situation. You allowed me to have this job. It's your fault. If you didn't allow me to have this job, then this wouldn't have happened. God, if you didn't make this wife or husband of mine come in my face when I was a youngster, none of this would ever happen. I'd be happily married. And Job asked some princess or some prince somewhere else. So we shift blame to God. And you know, sometimes when things are tough, we do this. Actually, his wife, the Lord, fell into this as well. In the beginning of, you know, Job's life, when God started, you know, testing him with the hardships, he told us, after he has given, the Lord has taken, blessed be the Lord God. But then after that, he began to blame God for his current condition. Very burdensome. He lost everything and has, you know, got all these sores on his body, and he's miserable, he can't move, his wife is upset, and it became very patient. For years, it stayed like this. Job said, or God told, you know, he basically started blaming God for his situation. God, and that's why in Job 40, in the end, God says to Job, "Would you condemn me that you might be justified?" So Job was condemning himself to justify because of his condition, that he himself might be justified. So sometimes we shift the blame to God. So again, the person who self-justifies is the person who shifts blame to God. God, it's your fault that I'm going through this, you know, difficulty. So this is one of the person that shift and five that shifting blame to God. Also, if we look at the parable of the talents, remember the one where one had one talent, two talents, and sold, and they more talents, right? The person who had five talents and two talents, they multiplied them. They bought, came and asked, multiplied them, and everything was good. And God told them, good and faithful servants. But the one talent, the guy that had one talent, what did he say to God when he came and God came and the master raised him to give an account? He said to him, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering. So what did he do? You have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. For being tough. He blamed God for being a hard man, and that's why he went and hid his talent in the dirt and didn't do anything with it. So he blamed him into outer. So again, he's shifting blame to God to justify himself. But did this fly? It didn't fly with God. But he actually said afterwards, he cast him God for his darkness. So he ended up blaming God for his unfaithfulness. He blamed God to my family's unfaithfulness. So I feel sometimes we all do the same thing. We blame God for maybe my laziness, for my unfaithfulness in a service, my unfaithfulness in this family. We blame God for it and said, oh, you brought me here maybe to America and it's so tough here. We have to work for like 14 hours a day. So we start to blame God for our unfaithfulness. So what are the dangers of justifying myself or of defending justification? The first is that anybody that justifies themselves is not prepared to repent. If I'm in a situation, myself and justifying myself, how could I ever repent? What am I doing? I'm saying that I am right to, I'm right to do this because of the current situation. So I'm not ready or in a position to repent. So the first danger is the person who, danger is that I will not be in a place to repent. And of course, we know repentance is the key to the kingdom of heaven. It's like a student who gets, you know, like is 50% on a test. And then what does he begin to do? You might ask him, why, what happened? Why did you do so poorly? He says, well, you know, the teacher is a bad teacher. So well, she doesn't give the material. The book's a horrible book. You know, it doesn't even explain anything. My classmates, they're doing, probably they ruin the curve. You know, so they blame everything else. Do you think this kind of student would be ready to put in a few more extra hours of studying? Probably not. If they're blaming the whole world and the text and everything, then they're just trying to justify themselves and that I am right for getting this 50. Those who justify. So if we justify ourselves, we won't be ready to repent. The second danger is that God actually refuses those who justify themselves. This is a strong saying. God refuses those who justify themselves. Again, if we go back to the parable of the talents, do you know what? After the guy came and told him, you know, I hid your, the guy with one talent, I hid your, my talent because I knew you were a harsh man. So God said, or the master said to him, he said to them, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Because he was unfaithful, God said, okay, give me this one talent that you didn't use and let me give it to somebody who will profit with it. So he took the talent from him and gave it to another man. And if you look at it, God can be one of two things. God can be our judge and God can be our lawyer. He can be both. But what is the difference? If you judge yourself, your judge, God will be your lawyer. But if you justify yourself, God will be your judge. If you justify myself, God will be, him gave it to somebody, but if I judge myself, he will be your lawyer. So, And then not only that, so he took the talent from him, comes and confesses to somebody else, and then he cast him into outer darkness. So do you think that this guy was off the hook because he justified himself? Absolutely not. It's just like if somebody could be, he provokes his abuna, I hit my brother or my sister, or I yelled at my wife, or I hit my wife, or I did this to my husband. Does that make it okay because maybe you? This is a choice. No, the sin is the sin. You still, you know, retaliated. You still acted this way. Nobody is, you know, going to, you know, force your hand to hit somebody. Nobody was ever that I make. So regardless of the circumstances that are around me, the actions that I take are still my actions and I have to give account for them. So nobody ever left off the hook simply for justifying themselves. I justify myself, so therefore I'm off the hook. Is that God refused? So the third danger, so we said the first is, you know, the person who justifies himself won't repent. This was not a state of repentance. The second, he comes, uses them. The third is that those who justify themselves fall into judgment. So it's just like, you know, any courthouse. If somebody to blame you, and you have somebody who's the defendant and the plaintiff, somebody is trying to prove their innocence and somebody is trying to condemn the other. In any court case, you have somebody that, what they say is like, wins the case, somebody who's justified, who is cleared, and on the other side, somebody what? There's somebody who is judged. So if I'm justifying myself, I'm automatically maybe judging another person, or I can fall into judgment of another person because of self-justification. I'm trying to make them the guilty party. So sometimes we fall into the sin of judgment with the sin. We justify our justification. Also, this last is the danger, and I think that maybe the most, you know, significant, is that when we self-justify or who is very ourselves, we lose other people around us. We lose them. It's just like maybe like a boss person, you know, by the book, who is very firm and is very harsh with the workers, and says to himself that not one person will slip from his job, or not 1 minute break, and will, you know, will open an internet site that is maybe not work-related, and you know everybody's going to work their full 8 hours, and you only get a 15. And it varies. If it's more than 15 minutes, you know, I will write them up. So this person is, you know, is governing his workers probably tough and strict way. Yes, the work might get done, but will the people like him? Will the people that are working for him like him? Probably not. So if you just, you know, when we're harsh with others, they probably won't like us. So yes, the work might get done, but you'll lose the people around you. Friendship, justify yourself, and always you make other people seem as they're in the wrong, or they need to pity me, people will end up not liking you. You'll lose the friend and the fellowship, my, you know, of your brothers and sisters. If you're one of those people that doesn't have maybe any friends, or you feel like you don't have any friends, take a look inside. Maybe do I justify myself about every action before everybody or before my peers, and that's why maybe they tend not to like to be around. First is to look. So what are the remedies? How can we, if I'm suffering from this sin of self-justification, how can we remedy? The first, I would learn humility, to learn humility. Humility is just to say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Or, you know, boss, son, is wrong and such, and I shouldn't have done it. That's it. Just be humble and accept your own faults. And this is what, you know, in the story of the no longer worth, the lost son came to this conclusion. He came and said, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father and tell him the following. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and the sin was ready to be called your son, so make me like one of your hired servants. So this I'm going to go admit. I'm not going to go and say, you know what, the people that I was hanging around with were just terrible people, and say, I'm not going to judge. Right there in front of me, what did you want me to do? I couldn't go anywhere. You know, I had no ride. My horse ran away. Whatever, all the excuses that you can think of to justify themselves. He didn't, you know, to justify myself. I'm going to go tell my father, kid, the odemo in his face, I have sinned against heaven and before you. So it wasn't until he realized this, the humble himself before his father, that he was actually granted forgiveness. So he went with this humble spirit, and we see in this story that when the father saw him afar off, the father had no idea what he was thinking or what he was planning on saying, you know, in this representation. But actually the Father in heaven does. He sees our heart from afar. So when it's humbled, He will come to meet us halfway and come and give us the forgiveness that we yearn and desire. To ourselves, when we say, these people treat me unfairly. These people, I don't deserve how they're treating me. Ask, they strip you of this question. What did Christ do? We can say, God will maybe respond to your prayer and say, well, did they spit in your face? They didn't do anything to your clothing. Did they put a crown of thorns on your head? Did they crucify you or hang you on a tree? No, I justify myself being like, they just gave me a bad look. Sometimes, kids, it's embarrassing when we compare ourselves back to what Christ went through, and He did not justify Himself, or He didn't do anything to justify. This is God, but His response and then my response when people accuse me, they still did all of this to Him, and He did nothing wrong. Me, and how much? How more better for me, being a mere man, and who was filled with sins. So the first remedy is to learn humility to others, or to just say, "I'm sorry, I've sinned." And it's my fault. The second is to put yourself in the shoes of, I'm exhausted, empathize, to feel their feelings, to share in the feelings of others. You know, if somebody maybe sometimes might come to me and sit or have a headache or whatever, and somebody comes and asks me for something, and I just, I just brush them off. Maybe this person that came and they come needed a word of comfort at this moment. And maybe because I was exhausted or had a headache, I just kind of brushed them off. What I saw, and say, Abuna, I feel like, you weren't happy to see me and you bothered me. I could say, Well, I had this thing you doing the day before. I'm sorry, I was, or this morning of, and I had this big headache, this migraine. I could say all of this. But actually, if I did, I would be justifying myself. The best thing to say is, you say this to the person, sensitive to your needs, and next time I'll try to be sensitive to your needs. And that's it. And actually, 10 times, 9 times out of 10, wouldn't work, and every person would be like, oh no, that's okay, I understand, you're busy or you're stressed or whatever. Sometimes when we say this, our spouse might say, I know, you're stressed out with other things, but this is maybe what I need from you. So let's try it. Humble ourselves. And to put ourselves in the shoes of others. Let's empathize. I'm adding the word people and share in the feelings of others. And lastly is to sincerely ask for forgiveness. I said this many times throughout the sermon, but here, bad or whatever, it's sincerely. To sincerely ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we do something wrong and we're like, oh yeah, my bad. And that's it. And it's just like, we expect that this might, and I don't want to talk, is going to be something that's going to make everything, sincere. Now, you can tell if somebody's sincere or not. You can tell if somebody's just saying, I'm sorry, just to, close the book and do better to anymore. So this is why I'm saying I'm sorry. No, but say it sincerely. I sincerely apologize for what I did. I know I shouldn't have done it, but, and I'll try to, says better next time. So let's sincerely apologize and ask for forgiveness. And that's why, in Arabic, it's really nice. It's able to say, I have akhdayt or samihni. When you ask for forgiveness, it's like, I've sinned, forgive me. In English, I think it's like, it's very difficult for people, actually this sin, for whatever reason. If you find it difficult to say, I've sinned, forgive me, just say, forgive me. Or sincerely look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry. Plus, this is a good, practice for even the little kids. When our son does anything, that he shouldn't to somebody else or to us of sincerity. We try to get him to come in front of us and look us in the eye. Because, kids will always be like, when they say, I'm sorry, they don't want to look you in the eye. But we want to train them to look in your eye to communicate that sense of apologize and forgive. Look me in the eye and tell me why you were sorry. So the same thing we can do as well. Look, somebody in the eye and sincerely tell them, I apologize, forgive me. May God grant us the victory, if this is a sin that we're having trouble with, to grant us victory over it, to humble ourselves, beloved brethren, that God might have mercy on us and grant us the forgiveness that we all need and desire. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.